Blog Talk Radio.
Man, my heart is heavy. I feel a lot of pain. It's been a while now since y'all done heard from Flame. Been a while now. But God has been rocking your boy. But at the same time, I see Satan's plot to destroy.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to As a Kid Radio Show. You know what? I cut that song short, but I think where I stopped it at was a perfect spot. I see Satan's plot to destroy. So, hey, I'm back here. You know how it goes. There's always something going on. Somebody's always said something, did something, called me, asked about something. And before you know it, we got a topic for the show. So I'm not going to dig in too deep just yet and start talking about the show. I want to talk about some, and they're not really myths, but we'll say some myths in the, you know, in the church as far as beliefs. Everybody doesn't believe this, but I had to deal with a parent who had a really serious issue with a child. And we're talking about disobedience, you know, just outright. If, you know, if the parent was God, the child was blasphemous, okay? And I'm like, I'm going to have to do a radio show about this one because it made me look at myself and think about some things. Now, when we see kids outside and they do crazy stuff, one of the first things we always say, where they parents at? We say stuff like, must not have been a father in the home. Or if we see, now let's go a little deeper. What about when that child is the parent of like a pastor or someone who's really involved in the church? We say stuff like, they spending all their time working in the church. They need to be pulling away from the church and working with their kids. Now, I know some of y'all ain't did that, but I'm going to let you know that I have. I've said those things. I've said those things, and I thought those things. And when I was talking to the, when I was dealing with this individual, with their situation, because I know them so well, I had to have a reflective moment. It's amazing how God will always take you back to what you thought you knew, and make you have to reanalyze that thing all over again. Because this person right here, I know some people say, you don't, before you say it, August, you know, you got to live with a person and all that stuff in order to truly know them. No, you don't. Some of us, we know that we know the character of certain people, and there's and what it is what it is. And I know for that with this particular family, as far as raising the kids, I know that they were involved. I know that they were spiritual. I know that they prayed with their child, studied with their child. They were also involved on a practical level. They were involved in school. They knew their friends. I mean, just whatever it is you can think of, the parents are very good parents, you know, by far. Matter of fact, I've watched the parents, and they went above and beyond with raising their children. So what happened? Well, I can tell you right now, one of the things in dealing with this particular family, and especially the mother, because I've been there through the ups and downs, so I know 100% what's really going on. We went through a phase at one time when the mother was in tears and would cry and be like, what did I do wrong? Would try to fast and try to pray and just never wanted to give up. I never wanted to give in, but fortunately, the parent finally reached a point where they had to say, I cannot do any more than I've already done. Now, a lot of people, now, I'm telling you, this is a sensitive topic, because a lot of times when you hear spiritual Christian parents say that they want to give up on their kids, sometimes you will have people who haven't truly assessed the situation that will automatically go in, but you know that those are your kids, and, you know, you got to, did you seek God first? You know, they really start scrutinizing the parent when they, especially when they're a figure in the church and saying, hey, you know, are you sure that you did all that you can do? And if you're not strong in what you're doing, I've seen a lot of parents still hold on to some children where I actually feel like they should have stopped. Now, y'all could be sitting there saying, okay, August, everything you're saying is opinion, but you know me. I'm always going to have at least one story, even if I can only find one story in the Bible to validate the point that I'm getting ready to make. I found it. And matter of fact, I didn't even have to find it. It's just amazing how when you sit down sometimes and when you need to talk to someone or coach them through something, or when you're dealing with something, a lot of times if you just sit, you don't even, if you truly study your word, you don't even have to pick it up sometimes, because the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, says he's the one that will bring to remembrance all things whatsoever he's taught you. So the point is this particular passage, I've read it a gazillion times, and I know exactly where it is in the Bible. It's just the point that I never looked at it from the angle that I was able to see it until encouragement was needed for someone else in this area. But the bottom line is we got to stop saying that the kids are a product of their parents and how well they do or don't raise them. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I know it's some kids out there, and it's like, okay, for real, where is your mama and where is your daddy? Somebody needs to get a belt and need to spank that behind. You know, I understand. There are some kids, they just doing whatever they want to do, and they're raising themselves. But I'm talking about sometimes holding the expectations too high and holding the bar too high with parents when they've done all that they can do. So where do I find the justification to say that sometimes parents, you need to fall back and understand that there was nothing else for you to do? And let me add this in here too. What about those parents that are spiritual and you know that your child was created for greatness? God spoke to your spirit and you knew that they were created for greatness and they off the chain. It's like, what in the world are they doing? And because you knew they was created for greatness, you know, you took them to Sunday school and Bible school and vacation Bible school, and you put them in the best schools. And what about those parents who saw the genius in their kid and you did all of these things and they want to throw their life away and be a bum and live on the street? They spiritually gifted, but they don't want nothing to do with the church. Where is the passage that relieves the parent when you know that you've done the best that you can do? It's in Judges. If you got your Bible, it's not a whole lot, but we're going to read just one chapter, and the rest of it I'm going to brief you on. Many of you, I don't have to because you know this story, but I always tell you, do your homework and go follow behind me and check it for yourself. But I want you to go to Judges chapter 13 with me. In chapter 13, we're going to hear about a phenomenal set of parents, okay? In Judges chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, Behold, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not unclean things. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come to his head, for the child shall be a Nazareth unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and drink no wine or strong drink, and don't eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazareth to God from the womb of the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, let the man of God which thou didst sin come unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. There, I'm going to stop. Okay, I love the Bible because it only gives you just enough information, okay? It don't tell you bit by bit, piece by piece, every single thing that happened in the lives of the individuals whose story you read. And I know that that's because God wants you to fill in the blanks, the empty pieces with your life, so that you understand that this thing pertains to you. Now, it is very obvious that these are very spiritual people. You can finish reading and you're going to realize, not only did Manoah pray and ask God to reveal to him what they should do, but he got the answer. And him and his wife followed that thing to a T. Now, for many of you, when I say this child's name, I could stop talking about children. The name of the child was Samson. Samson's parents, from not from the beginning, with it was really time to teach those critical things from the womb, people, from the womb, before the manifestation even got there, they sought the Lord. God said, I'm gonna give you a seed, and they were like, well, we want to be ready, we want to be prepared. They were spiritual people, and they did everything that they were supposed to do. But at the end of the day, we know that Samson did everything other than what he was supposed to do. The same unclean things that his family, his mother and daddy was not supposed to touch, or his mother was not supposed to touch, he did. He killed the lion. He ate the lion. He was always attracted to women and was trying to marry outside of his race. As a matter of fact, he wanted to marry of the same race of people that God had destined him to destroy. So how many of you out there have experienced, I know as a parent I've experienced, knowing that you've done all that you can do, and you still look at your kids sometimes and be like, what you doing? Why are you doing that? Now, the unfortunate story with Samson is he literally didn't figure it out until it was time for him to die. But there are other kids who figure it out much sooner than that. But I brought up that story today just so that it can shed light on the fact that, yes, people, it's possible. And I'm not trying to be funny. You know, things are about perception. And the way you perceive things is the way that your world will want to speak on it. And I have learned more and more, especially since I do this, to step outside of the box. Because I used to say about them pastors, you know, they need to get out the pulpit, they need to deal with their own kids. And at the end of the day, should the pastor stop preaching to a whole congregation of people? Well, I don't care if it could be 100 members and only 10 people still getting it. Should they stop sowing seeds into 100 people just to manage this one, when this one is still going to do whatever it is that they want to do? I mean, honestly, think about that. Now that that perception has been brought to you, it should make you say, wow, maybe my train of thought or my thinking was actually selfish as it pertains to the kingdom of God. So rewind. Parents, if you are dealing with this issue and if you are having this struggle, I can honestly say that I thank the Lord that he's given me, if I know that there's more, but even if it's just that one passage to show you that you don't hold yourself in a state of guilt because of whatever it is your seed decides to do after you have done all that you can do. There are certain aspects of life that we don't have control over. From a practical level, I have this wonderful friend. I have a sister, and she is awesome. And what she tells me, her grandmother always used to tell her, was, you can make the child, but you cannot make the mind. You hear that? You can make the child, but you cannot make the mind. some of you, you know, when your kids get out there and they start doing some wild, crazy things, and you be like, where did this come from? I didn't teach them to do that, and I taught them about preserving their body and loving themselves and waiting on God and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they go out there and do the exact opposite. Well, what does the scripture say about people and the lifestyles that we choose to live? He says in the book of James that when someone is tempted, they are tempted because of their own desires, their own wants. And at the end of the day, you have to realize that when you're raising your children, that all you are doing at that moment for real, even though it's out of love, you're being a police. You are being the law. You are residing over them, but that doesn't mean that that is what they want to do. You could have something as simple as having an expectation of one of your dishes washed every night. But washing dishes may not be important to them, not because they just young and they nasty and don't want to do nothing and they preoccupied and the only thing they want to do is just play and have fun. Washing dishes just ain't that important to them. And to them, it's not a big deal if they sit there an extra day. And, hey, different strokes for different folks. Something as simple as that, I don't understand it, but I'm just saying. But at the end of the day, no matter what you do, when they go on their own, if they want to wash dishes every other day, that's what they're going to do. Now, if that's nasty and trifling and it causes the bacteria and other things going on, that's on them. But I use something as simple as that because that's what they're going to do. If you want them parents where you always around and they basically live a very chaste life, they can't just bring no riffraff up in your house and bring any old kind of boy and stuff in there. At the end of the day, once it's all said and done, when they get a piece of freedom, if that's what they want to do, they are going to do it. It's just like what the Bible says about how you can't live under the law. Because if you dictate what you do based on what the Bible says, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, you don't have a heart change. And what I think we have to realize is that what we do is we try to put seeds in our kids to help develop their heart. But you know what? Some seeds take a long time to grow, people. There are some seeds, you know, your child may not be a stalk of corn. Maybe your child is a tree, okay? The stalk of corn is going to grow within a season. The tree ain't going to fully mature for you know, 80 years. It's going to be like Moses. You know what I'm saying? So, well, he matured faster than that. But still, you know, God called him at 40 and went through a maturing process. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there for somebody that might want to over-critique me. But still, at 40, he didn't come into realness of who he was until he was 40 years old. And then he was cultivated for another 40 years, and then he carried out the mission of God. But the bottom line is that whatever's in them, they're going to do. You know, something simple. You know, I have an 18, almost going to be 19-month-old. And I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, yeah, I mean, when it comes to dancing, your girl used to get down. And honestly, if I wanted to, maybe not to that degree, I still got moves. That's not the issue. But I have, you know, being a woman of God, you know, I don't go to the clubs and I don't do all that stuff no more. But I do still like to skate and roll and get a little groove because it's natural for me. But I don't have the natural desire to go out there and show everybody everything that I'm capable of doing like I used to. But now I got this 19-month-old, and I'm going to tell you something. The girl, she got moves. She sit there, and she shake her and do what she does, and I'm going to tell you something. She ain't never seen me dance a day in my life. She ain't even old enough to even, look, maybe I did too much Zumba while I was pregnant. But my daughter, she can move. So as a parent, my goal is to make sure that the energy of those dance moves, me and my husband said, was to help direct that energy towards positive dancing. But the reality still remains, she might want to hip-hop dance and do everything else when she gets older. It's just our objective to try to put moral codes out there so that she don't want to be a stripper, you know, or something like that. You know, so I put, you know, for those of you that have been following me, you know that I said the show was going to be condensed to 30 minutes. I definitely want to give time for other people to have input. So the bottom line is I threw what I threw out there. I mean, if anybody's feeling anything, thinking anything, I want a response. I always want a response. Push the button one and let me know what you think about what I said. You know, because we deal with this as parents. We deal with it whether we're in a church or not. And let me also add this, especially for my single parents that are out there. Samson was raised by both. Just make sure that you absorb that point. Samson had his mother and his father there, both with a desire to do the will of God as it pertained to raising him. But Samson still decided to do whatever he wanted to do and blaze his own path. Now, at the end of the day, his parents knew the path that God had for him. Shame on him for not listening. And it took him a long time to come back around and do what it was that God wanted him to do. But eventually he did. Unfortunately, it was all the way up, and he had to do it on his deathbed. You know, people say they don't believe in deathbed salvation. I think I could probably preach that one, too. Yeah, at the very last minute, you know, you could be like, God, I got it together. Help me out. You know, but you guys help me out. Push the button one. Give me some kind of feedback. You know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Come on, parents, because we're dealing with stuff with our kids. We got all kind of stuff. Our kids are doing stuff that we know that we didn't teach them to do. Okay, here we go. I got a caller with a comment. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, and yourself?
I'm absolutely great. I'm interested. What's on your mind?
You know, as you were speaking that, I was thinking to myself, sometimes religion, you know, they have their spirituality together and all that in their older age, and they might not have it together when they were younger. So maybe it's a possibility that the kids are portraying something that was in the parents, in the parents' life before they came to maturity also.
Like I said with my 19-month-old.
Right.
That there's just something, though. So let me see if I can rephrase what you're saying. At the end of the day, let's say it scientifically, even though I know some church folks don't like that either. It's certain things that's in your DNA.
Yes.
And it's certain things,
exactly.
Characteristics that you have that you may have been delivered from them, but they still a part of your DNA. And when you have your child, some of those things in the DNA may come out. Do you mind if I take what you just said a step further?
Yes.
And tell me and the public how you feel about this. And I'm saying this especially for the single parents or for blended families where you like are step parents and stuff like that. Sometimes when you're dealing with issues with your kids, you also need to remember that some of the things that you really, really can't comprehend and you're like, okay, no, that's not something when I did when I was younger. A lot of us have to realize that they come from the DNA of more than one parent. And so many of us are single parents and we didn't even really know our baby daddies or our baby mamas. So we don't know what we're dealing with for real, but it actually is something that just may have already been in them that was there a long time ago.
That wasn't part of you, but it could have been part of that other parent that was going
right.
to actually come out that you didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
So you can try to guide and gear them around it, but, you know, if you really don't know what was in the other parent when they was growing up or what they were subjected to, you can't guide them around stuff that you don't even know that's hidden their way.
Right. And you know what now? Let's do this. And anybody else, push that button one. Come in if you want to interject and you want to add something to it. The whole point of having today's topic is so, you know, so people don't be over spiritual. Sometimes does it bother you that people, I want to try to say this right, but, you know, I'm not necessarily always trying to say it to make people happy. But some people I really believe are over spiritual. And the only
Correct.
Thing they ever got to say is, you got to pray on that, and you could have fasted on everything to say to you is always a spiritual answer. And people that know me, they know I'm very spiritual, and I believe in the power of prayer. I was raised by a praying grandmama, okay, and I saw the results. But there are some things that are practical that we just have to deal with. You know, some people act like, well, the only reason why you don't know is, you know, because you didn't seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can still show you that. you know, we're not perfect and we're not complete. The Bible says we won't be perfect until that which is perfect returns. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for people that want to look it up. It's a real scripture. So to have perfect knowledge and perfect understanding and dealing with people is impossible. And to know everything is impossible. The only thing that is possible is that if you trust on the leading of the Holy Spirit is to love everybody in spite of, to love them no matter what, because you can't know everything. You know, how do you, you know, if you got a comment on that, please give me. Are you feeling where I'm coming from?
And some things people, you know, they'll say stuff like, you know, it's been known the guy was, you know, like it did with Job when, you know, God was like, he was trying to, you know, see who he could, you know, just vile or make somebody, you know, not believe that God is who he said. He asked him, hey, you tried my servant Job. So sometimes God lets you go through things just to see, do you really trust him and who he is? So, you know, sometimes if you got a wild child and your child out there doing that kind of stuff, because your child is wild, does that mean you're going to stop trusting and believing God? Or do you really believe that God will see them through it after they get through with whatever it is they're doing?
Absolutely, because who's kidding? Now, see, you should have did the show this morning because you're bringing it. But at the end of the day, whose kid is it first? It's God's kid.
God.
It's his kid. Amen. I feel you 100%. It's his child. So just like with Samson, eventually. And the thing, you know, and I'm going to put this out here. You know, sometimes, you know, some parents, when your kids go against what it is that you know that the Lord has prescribed for their life, you expect to see them, well, yeah, you're going to get out there, and when you get out there, you're going to fall, you're going to fail, and all of these are things that are going to happen. And a lot of times, and for the most part, at the end of the day, there'll be a level of falling if you're walking away from God. But sometimes I think that out of love and sometimes out of anger, we want to see them fall or fail faster so that hopefully it'll make them turn around. But we don't know how the situations are going to happen because God showed Samson grace and mercy over and over again. The man literally entrapped himself. But the scriptures specifically say for you people that think the Holy Spirit only in the New Testament, it specifically says, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit always been there. It's just that now it's manifested in us continually as opposed to us being overtaken by it. But back to my point, Samson had the power of the Holy Spirit with him over and over again. So sometimes because the grace and love that God will show your children, you're waiting for them to fall and fail, but he's still hoping that they will remember what was implanted in them and do better. Your seed may continue to do the wrong thing because they're continuing to get blessed in the middle of their circumstances until they reach the breaking point. And we don't know what that breaking point will look like and how far they will or will not fall, but the point is Samson was out of his parents' jurisdiction. And it was completely between God and that child how the manifestation of I need to get back on track actually ended up occurring because he did end up doing exactly what God called him to do. But, you know, you never stop being a parent. I can say that now that I am a parent of an older child. You never stop loving them. You never stop praying for them. You never stop wanting or desiring the best for them. But you eventually reach a point where you realize that you are not the one that's in control. There is a point when they become an adult, and whatever happens is completely up to them. So on one hand, this show should have taught us that no matter how much you do, they're going to do whatever it is they're going to do regardless. But the other thing is what you brought to the light is that at the end of the day, whatever's going to happen, God is the one that's in control. And we as men and women just have to trust him. And so I don't know. Does anybody else, are you thinking anything? Do you have a comment? Are you dealing with the situation? Hey, nobody knows who you are. Push the button one. Share. Give your feedback. Because I know that this is a heavy issue. You know, caller, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, I'm giving it a few seconds, you know, to see if anybody else wants to interject. You know, once again, like I always say, you may not even agree 100% with what I'm saying. Hey, this is an open and a free show. Say your point. Put it out there. I had an atheist put me on blast one day. The point is we always got to talk about the things that don't necessarily get talked about in the church because it helps us to grow and move forward, okay? So it doesn't look like anybody else has anything extra that they want to add in or bring in. Hey, this is something that was a little bit of a left curve. It was presented a little bit differently. That's fine. Maybe you got to meditate on it. Like I always say, I have some of you guys that call me that know me intimately or you send me emails or inbox me on Facebook. Continue to do that. AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's August with an E, AUGUSTE, Crenshaw, CRENSHAW. You can also find me on Facebook. To reach out to me, people. I accept all my friend requests. You got to do something that's real, 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 real crazy for me not to have you on there. But reach out. Let me know what other things are on your mind, what other topics you'd like to hear about, any questions and comments that you have. And I can't wait to see what we're going to have next week. And we will reconvene there. I pray that, you know, the word has hit the hearts of everyone, that it has soaked in and you've received it in your spirit, and that it helps all of us to be able to grow. If you didn't specifically need this word for yourself, then I pray that God gives you the wisdom to understand how to use this word to give it to someone else in order to help them and to encourage them as well. So you all have a good week. Research those scriptures. Make sure I'm always on point. And we will talk next Monday. Bye-bye.